And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monk. Cincinnati Public Schools Board of Education will meet today to consider several proposals for fall classes. Board members are considering what safety precautions the school district will need to take with the threat of the novel coronavirus. Five options are up for consideration. They range from various different staggered schedules for students to 5 days of classes with social distancing. So joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss the options right now are Cincinnati Public Schools Board of Education members Ryan Messer. Ryan, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And Mike Morosky.
Great to be here.
Mike, thank you for being with us also.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
And those of you listening can join our conversation too at 513-419-7100. We'll also take your questions and comments at talk@wvxu.org via email, or look for us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and try to get some of those into the show as well. Ryan, let's start with you. There are five options on the table. We'll go through some of those as this segment proceeds, but talk a little bit about the process that led to having these five options.
Well, and I'll let my board member weigh in as well here. You know, we have taken the five and narrowed it down to really three options that will be reviewed at length today and then ultimately voted on by the board. And, you know, if you have, there's been a piece shared a lot on social media that shows the five, the three that are kind of going to be the narrowed down version is Model 1, Model 4, and Model 5. And so we looked at a variety of things. I think what I've heard my board members and the superintendent and the rest of the administration say is, first and foremost is the health and safety of our students and our staff. Closely behind that is making sure that we are helping to ensure equitable access and achievement in education, as our top two guiding principles. And then, of course, a variety of other considerations there as well.
Okay, so if I'm understanding correctly, you're saying of the five options that were previously presented, it sounds like three are being seriously considered at today's meeting. Option one is this is the one that would have in-person classes for half the students for 3 days a week, the other half for 2 days a week, and then alternating?
That is correct.
And that would allow for 6 feet of separation between student desk. And then option four is the one that only allows for 3 feet of student separation. And this would allow for students to be in school and receive teacher-led instruction 5 days a week. And then option five is similar to that one with 3 feet of separation, but students would be in class physically just 4 days a week. And let's bring in Mike Morosky, also a member of the Cincinnati Board of Education. Tell us basically the same thing that Ryan did, but from your perspective, how you led to this conclusion that these are the three options that we're looking at.
Sure. Yeah. Ryan hit the nail on the head. After our last public discussion of these options, which was last Monday at our regular business meeting, the administration, led by Superintendent Laura Mitchell, took all of our feedback and narrowed it down to these three because there was really no interest from anyone on the Board of Education in a 100% virtual model. Now, of note is that model is being fully baked as we speak anyway in the event that the schools have to close again. So, you know, measures are being taken to be prepared for that, but it was not the will of anyone on the board, quite frankly, to explore that. So that one was excised. And there was another kind of even more complicated version of option one, which is pretty straightforward, 2 days on, 3 days off, and then alternating weeks. There was a more complicated version of that that would have necessitated finding 350 community spaces to use in addition to our buildings, which would have really made the transportation costs unfeasible and a few other concerns. So the administration heard our feedback. We heard the public. I know Ryan met with our strategic and engagement and planning committee with two of our colleagues last Wednesday, I think. Ryan can correct me if that wasn't it. But either way, taking all that into account, we ended with these three. And so tonight, I emailed someone via to our agenda for tonight, Michael. And you'll see on the agenda, it's a presentation, it's hearing of the public, and then we will vote on these three. There's three resolutions for each option. And, you know, whichever one has the most votes will be what we go with in the fall.
Okay, so based on these three options, they'll all receive a vote today. That's what you're saying, Mike?
Correct.
And it will be based on the five of you who are voting, whichever one gets the most of the five, or will you have the option to cast a vote in favor on each of them if you wish?
So there's seven of us, but yes, there will be, we'll have an opportunity to vote on all three, all seven of us will.
My apologies, I got the numbers jumbled. There were five options, now there's three. There are seven members of the Board of Education. I apologize
right. They're
for
all
that.
Odd numbers, though. We're an odd group.
Of course. All right, 513-419-7100 is the number to join the conversation, and we'll go now to the phones where we have Matthew on the line. Hi, Matthew, what's your question or comment?
Yes, sir. I was just calling for comment on the five plans that I've seen put forth by the board. There seems to kind of be a desperate lack for addressing the situation of special needs children, those in the disability community, as well as many of those being high risk and returning to a population that doesn't address, the sort of issues that revolve around having a one-to-one paraprofessional or having the hands-on education that's required by these students.
Matthew, thank you so much for the call, and thank you for listening. Ryan, can you address that? Are there special concerns about students who are classified as special needs?
Yeah, I would say that that sentiment was also echoed by the board to our administration, and so you'll hear a little beefed up, or the presentation beefed up a little more so that we address that for those families. You know, I think the other nuance to this, as you look through the resolutions, is there will always be still an option for those families, whether we go the 2-3 rotating schedule, whether we go back 4 days, whether we go back 5 days, there will be a demographic of our student population and our staff who, based on their health risk or health risk of others surrounding them, just like my place of employment, Johnson & Johnson, there will be people that will not be able to go into whatever that return to school plan looks like. We are beefing up the Digital Academy so that there will be a remote option. In addition, we also know that there's going to be a variety of staff who are going to be in that same boat and not able to return. So whatever the model looks like, there is a lot of belief that we will have kind of a group of staff members who are going to be fully dedicated to those students who can't. It may not be ideal. It's just, you know, unfortunately, we're dealing with a pandemic here. It's not going to be perfect, but I know that the superintendent and the administration has put long hours into making sure that it is equitable, especially in those special needs populations of our students.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're joined by two members of the Cincinnati Public Schools Board of Education, Ryan Messer and Mike Morosky, as we talk about the options being explored by the board and the administration on how best to reopen schools when the new school year starts. Mike, as Ryan just mentioned, we are still in the middle of an ongoing pandemic. I shouldn't even say in the middle. Who knows which part of it we're in. We're seeing a pretty significant increase in cases across the country and even here in Hamilton County. How concerned are you as a board member that we've not seen the worst of this yet and the impact that could have on anything that you decide today?
I'm pretty concerned. I think my colleagues could attest to. I've voiced those concerns in the past couple of our meetings and likely will tonight. I'm uncertain that we have a great handle on this pandemic. I'm not a doctor. I work with a number of doctors, however, doing public health policy. Of course, policy is far different than medicine, right? So, you know, in talking with folks and trying to, you know, get to a decision in my own mind, I think Ryan and myself and everybody, we're all sort of aligned 100% on this being the most difficult decision we've been afforded the opportunity to make as a team. And so everybody has done due diligence plus. But I would just say for me, I have concerns with the recent spikes. And to your point, again, you know, we may very well make this decision as information is changing by the hour, literally. We may make this decision and be told that we can't go back in the fall. But, you know, we have to make the best decision that we can tonight and then support that decision with real dollars and cents to ensure, again, to echo Ryan, first, our students and staff are safe, and then secondly, that the students are able to access the quality education they've come to know and expect from Cincinnati Public Schools.
Mike, you told the Inquirer that you aren't interested in any social distancing plan that is limited to 3 feet rather than 6 feet. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's where I have sort of landed in my own discernment.
Okay, and so that would suggest that you would support what was previously known as option one, then, where there are alternating student bodies cut in half, basically, between 3 days and 2 days, and then the next week they would switch off, but there would be 6 feet of separation between the students.
Correct. As of this moment, that is the option that I support.
And Ryan, are you more comfortable than that with 3 feet of separation?
Well, first, I mean, I haven't made up my decision. You know, I think, of course, I care about all of our students and staff. You know, two of my four children are going to be entering the doors of CPS this fall. I think where my head is, you know, the World Health Organization says 3 feet minimum. The American Academy of Pediatrics, and I was referred to that by my pediatrician, who I unfortunately had to see last night on a separate topic, but reminded me that they had sent out a statement. And, you know, multiple organizations coming out and saying 5 days of academic, if at all possible, if you can do the 3 feet. You know, I think there's a couple of things that, you know, if there is a guidance from World Health Organization that says minimum of 3 feet, we've seen European countries do it, et cetera, and then you balance that with whether we go 5 days a week or 4 days at 3 feet or 2 to 3 days at 6 feet, we are still putting students, we're all at risk. So I'm kind of in the camp of you either go back or you don't. If you go back and you're saying, hey, I'm going to be able to do 6 feet, what I know about a lot of my children's friends is their parents are single working parents or two parents working in a home. They're saying, I'm going to have to figure out any sort of child care arrangements for the other 2 days if they're on the 3 day week, and then make sure hopefully I can find somebody that will do the opposite 2 days on the other day, other week. They're going to be with tons of other kids in those settings, therefore negating the benefits you have of a group of kids staying together 5 days in a cohort that we've heard a lot about from Children's and others. So as a father and a Montessori father, just the thought of the 3 versus 6 with my kids and the environment they're in, I think it's difficult. So I think it's either you go back or you don't, kind of is where my head is going, although I haven't decided that. I just think that looking at the World Health Organization and kind of the other countries around the world that are reporting in what they're doing and seeing the 3 feet as the minimum, and stated their plan, which talked about 3 feet, and then 6 feet wherever possible when they're changing classes and, you know, engaging with other students in the lunchrooms, et cetera. So I think you kind of do a balance of keeping the students in their cohort, in their classroom, and then when they're changing, you know, where you're able to expand that a bit more, that's always better.
And let's go back to the phones now. We have Jeff on the line. Hi, Jeff. What's your question or comment?
Yes, thank you. I have a concern that if we go back and we say 3 feet, that it really is going to be the choice between all or none, and that to me the other solution sounds like the middle of the road that protects people and allows for some classroom. I'm concerned with the spikes that are going on, that if we go back and it's 3 feet, then it's going to have to be virtual for the rest of the year.
Jeff, thanks so much for the call and sharing your perspective. We do appreciate it. Let's go to Michael now. Hi, Michael. What's your question or comment?
Hi. My dad has a long career in teaching here, and he loves it, but he's in the high-risk group for COVID. He told me that he will refuse to physically return to the classroom if the COVID outbreaks continue here, which we are seeing. So I'm wondering what options will my dad and other teachers and staff members who are in the high-risk groups have to protect both their safety and their jobs? Because right now, he's mentally preparing to need to quit and potentially take an early retirement.
Michael, thanks so much for the call. We're joined by Cincinnati Board of Education members Mike Morosky and Ryan Messer. Mike, what kind of feedback are you getting from teachers who have concerns if they're of certain demographics that fall into high-risk categories for COVID-19?
I think it's similar to the sentiment that was just shared by that teacher's son. You know, the feedback uniquely to any other decision, again, that at least I think this current incarnation of the school board has been afforded the opportunity to make, the feedback is pretty even on both. Like, send us all back to Ryan's point, or, you know, I want more distance. I'm not going to accept anything less than 6 feet. And that's not just from teachers and faculty and staff, it's also from parents. But I have received notes, just like I'm sure all of seven of us have, from, hey, I have COPD, or I have this condition, or I'm a cancer survivor and I'm worried about being in a classroom at all. And so Ryan touched on this earlier, so I'd just like to highlight it again in case it got lost, but it's important. Ryan's point of this is not going to be, you are not going to be punished if you do not feel it is safe to send your child back for a specific health reason, et cetera. So we're going to build in flexibility into whichever plan is selected and then ultimately supported by all seven of us. We're going to build flexibility into the plan.
Brian, am I overlooking anything that relates to mask wearing? Do you expect that masks will be a part of this?
Well, you know, personally, as a parent, I hope so. I mean, we've taught our children, if you go out in public, which we have limited since the pandemic started, my kids are getting used to wearing it. I mean, you know, one thing, I talked to a local arts organizer, for lack of a better word, who's worked with the district. I thought, how cool would it be to have the children create their own mask, decorate their own mask? Because one thing our superintendent always talks about is having our children be world influencers. And I think that we can all say the public hasn't done a good job. And if you listen to the governor, Hamilton County hasn't specifically done a very good job lately. And, you know, the hope is, whether we're back 2-3 days or the 4 or 5 days, that our children can help educate our community and those around them on the importance of wearing a mask. So I personally, as a parent, hope that the masks are built in, and if we're in a cohort situation where they're with the same kids and their friends aren't going out and being with different child care centers and all that, I have confidence in that work, that group. But when they're between classes, my personal opinion is masks should be part of the equation.
But to be clear, Ryan, at this moment, none of the three resolutions that will be considered this afternoon include a mandate related to masks.
Well, it's not specifically included in the mandate, but then, you know, I think, you know, lots of the specific actions and tactics on how you mitigate risk are kind of the level two and level three beyond the high level decision that
gotcha.
We're making. And I think the disinfecting procedures, how we take care of, you know, the air exchange, things I never even thought about I'd have to learn about, how much our air rotates in between our buildings to have a full rotation, you know, how we disinfect our classrooms, buses, and everything else that impact our children. All of those details will be built into any of the three options that are chosen.
And we've got some comments via Twitter at 917WVXU. Pete Riddle writes, quote, "As a CPS parent at three schools, I'm concerned that CPS is giving too much weight to mitigating the risk associated with COVID-19 next year and not enough consideration to the social, emotional, nutrition, and safety gaps created by full remote and blended learning models." Brian Kennedy writes, "Socially distancing inside a school is unrealistic at best. If ever there were a time to invest in infrastructure that provides digital access to all, it is now. Risking lives of students and staff sends a clear message about our priorities." Michael Armstrong writes on Twitter, quote, "Recent spikes in deaths among children make in-person school dangerous until a vaccine is universally available." Robin Weaver tweets at us, quote, "Reality is that it's not possible for parents and guardians to work when there's no school or childcare. Working from home while children are doing online distance learning doesn't work either. Part-time alternating schedules mean part-time alternating adult working schedules." And then there was a response to Robin's tweet from Little Ms. Gladys, who writes, "But the school's responsibility is to provide education. It's not a babysitter while you work. I'm a single working mom, so I get the struggle, but employers have to work with parents with kids It is the law. And you can tweet at us as well at 917-WVXU. We're joined by school board members Ryan Messer and Mike Morosky just ahead of today's meeting, which is at 3 o'clock. We can go back to the phones now. Joining us is Bridget. Hi, Bridget. What's your question or comment?
Hi. Yeah, I was just wondering. I mean, there's a lot of specialized programs within the district. Some of them are very small. So if those programs are able to easily social distance at the 6 feet and you go to the 3-2 model, would they still be able to operate like full time all 5 days because they are able to maintain that all 5 days? Or would everybody be just put together and have to go to the same model?
Okay, Bridget, thank you for the call. Ryan or Mike, would one of you be able to answer that?
I can attempt to. I believe, and Ryan, feel free to jump in and help me if I heard it correctly. The question was about, or Michael as well, about like programming, like outside partners working with our students. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, to be perfectly frank and transparent, if option number one would disrupt some of that, certainly. And really, you know, there's going to be considerations about visitors in school in general, and our colleague, Ryan and I's colleague, Sam Bowers, who works at Central Clinic and is familiar with being, you know, a support for our students in her career. That things are going to change, and everyone's going to have to adapt to help us make this work, and certainly with option number one. The other two options, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, and again, I would love for Ryan to chime in. All of the options are going to require changes on everyone's part. Things are not going to look the same, no matter how similar, you know, an option may approach the day-to-day of the past. So.
And I think I've got time for one quick phone call. We've got Tom on the line. Tom, I've got about 20 seconds for you. Go ahead.
Okay. It seems to me that the 6-foot separation is when you're face-to-face and in danger of catching somebody's spittle. But if you're behind each other, do you really need a 6-foot separation? And you don't need it if you're side to side either.
All right, Tom, we appreciate the call and the perspective. Thanks for listening. Today's Cincinnati Board of Education meeting is at 3 o'clock, where three resolutions related to the return to school will be presented for consideration among the 7 board members. We will see how that plays out. Now, it's going to be live streamed. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
And where would people find that stream?
How about we share it? It's on the district website. It's been shared to our district mailing list. I have shared it extensively on social media. I'm sure Mike has. I think it'd be great if we could share that with you.
We are going to have it on WVXU.org. So Ryan Messer and Mike Morosky, thanks so much for sharing this perspective with us. We really do appreciate your time.
Thank you so
much. Thanks, Michael.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks.